This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to Podcast 38 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain Podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Hello, this is the Super Tall Marshall Morris, and I am joined today by Dr. Chad Edwards, who believes that 80% of medical recommendations are crap, technically speaking here. Dr. Chad Edwards, he is the author of Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements. He served in the U.S. Army for 23 years. He is a board certified family physician, and he is the founder of revolutionhealth.org and Against the Grain Podcast. Dr. Edwards, what is up? How are you doing?
I am just excited to be here. I love doing podcasts. I love talking about all the crap that's out there and all the good stuff that's out there. So I'm ready to hit it.
All right, let's get into it. What is the hot topic for today?
We are talking about the Paragard.
The Paragard.
Paragard.
Okay, Paragard? Am I saying it correctly?
Paragard.
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 Okay.
Yep. So obviously, the question for many people is going to be, what is Paragard?
Yeah.
So the Paragard is a brand name for a type of birth control intrauterine device. That's my big term for the day. Intrauterine device. IUD is okay. The other word. So the, I'm going to reference people back to episode 16 or podcast number 16 of Against the Grain Podcast, where we talk about bad birth control. And the issue there is the probably one of the most common forms of birth control that we see are oral contraceptive pills, or OCPs. And in episode or podcast number 16, we talk about why those may not be a good idea. You know, in the last podcast, we talked a little bit about bioidentical hormones. We talked about them, you know, in other podcasts. And they are synthetic hormones. They are not natural or native to your body. They're metabolized differently. They behave differently in your body. Some women tolerate it well. Some women have serious, severe problems. So not a big fan of birth control pills. You know, there's a lot of risks that can go with them, especially if you are, you know, getting a little bit older in age and smoke. You got an increased risk of blood clots, pulmonary embolism, things like that. You got to take those little suckers every day. You can't miss, because you could get pregnant in the middle of this thing. And so when our patients come to us and they say, I feel bad, and we do this workup and we say, well, your hormones may be causing a big problem, we got to have a solution for them. So for a long time, I recommended IUDs, intrauterine devices. So this is a little T-shaped device. They're usually about a centimeter by a centimeter and a half. And it's a very simple procedure. Come into the office, and it's kind of like getting a pap smear for women. And so you'll get up into the stirrups, and I know everybody loves doing that. And so it's basically like getting a pap smear, but we'll insert the intrauterine device in the middle of this procedure. It takes just a couple of minutes. I will say that my caveat, or you know, the procedure itself, one of my recommendations, you know, and if you've listened to the podcast about prolotherapy and things like that, I strongly advise avoiding anti-inflammatory medications such as Motrin, Naprosyn, ibuprofen, you know, those kinds of things for most things. This is one time, there are a couple of others, where I recommend that medication. So something like Motrin, Naprosyn, ibuprofen, those kinds of things, I strongly recommend taking those medications a couple hours before you come in, because it can really help with the cramping that you may get during the procedure. So we'll often grab onto the uterus with it, or the cervix with a device called a tenaculum. We measure the uterus so that we know how deep this intrauterine device is supposed to go, and that it's always, or that it's absolutely up inside there. We place the intrauterine device and then pull the little insertion thing out, and then we clip the strings. Now, when I was doing the research for this particular podcast, I was looking up, you know, how did, you know, for, I remember, you know, when I grew up, I remember intrauterine devices having a real bad name. And, you know, it was like, oh, those things like kill people. And, you know, it's, you get infections and stuff like that. The, I'm gonna see if I wrote down the name. I can't remember the name of the thing. It's not a Dakota. There's a name for the thing. It was used back in the 70s, and it resulted in 300,000 lawsuits. It was the largest medical malpractice or the largest tort case, or I can't remember, after asbestos. I mean, like, it was a big deal, and the company ended up going bankrupt. But they quit using this intrauterine device. Well, one of the problems was the string that they had attached to the thing. You know, you want a string because you put it up into the uterus, you want to be able to get back, that back out sometime. The string that they have tied to it that sticks out of your cervix, not out of your vagina, just out of the cervix, so it's not visible. That string was what we call it was not a monofilament, meaning that it was kind of woven and bacteria could get in the string. And it was a source of infection, and bacteria could kind of wick up inside the uterus and cause pelvic inflammatory disease and all of these kinds of problems. And there were a couple of concerns that it may have caused some deaths. I don't really know if it did or not, but that sounds like a bad thing. So, you know, we quit using those, and all intrauterine devices got a bad name because of that. These strings that we use today are monofilaments, kind of like fishing lure, but it's a real flexible, soft string. And the other thing is, make sure if you're listening and you're not coming into our clinic to get your IUD or intrauterine device, tell them to cut the strings kind of long. If you think about, you know, men or women, you know, if you don't shave your face or your legs for a couple of few days, the whiskers are spiky, and that's because they're a little short and they're stiff and bristly. But if you let everything grow out, then, you know, the hair on your head is soft, not spiky. Well, the intrauterine device, if you cut that string too short, it's spiky. That doesn't matter for the woman, but it might matter for the man, and nobody wants to get poked with a little thing, you know, during intercourse. So make sure they cut that string sufficiently long. And I usually go, you know, a good couple of 3 centimeters in length, because it makes it much softer and not pokey. So these intrauterine devices are placed inside the uterus and help with... Or they are an effective form of birth control. I used to recommend the Mirena, and the Mirena has, I think it's norgestrel. It's a hormone that works, they say, locally in the uterus, but there is some systemic effect. And I've seen a lot of problems with a lot of patients when they had Mirena because of the hormones. Not every woman does, but, you know, I've seen a lot of them. So I recommend avoiding the hormones if at all possible. So the Paragard uses copper. So it's this little plastic device, again, 1 to 1.5 centimeters. And it's got copper wrapped around them. And that copper induces some localized inflammation, and it makes the environment hospitable to sperm. So when there's semen in the area, the sperm are killed off because of that inflammation associated with the copper. So a very, very effective form of contraception. In fact, when you look at birth control pills, the oral contraceptive pills, OCPs, are between 91 and 94% effective, depending on what study you look at. And that is based on perfect use. That means you take it at the same time of day every day. And they work by suppressing the hormones from the brain and the, you know, so the FSH, LH, and the estrogens. So when we suppress that stuff and you don't get this spike, then you don't have ovulation, so you can't get pregnant. The intrauterine devices work by creating an inhospitable environment in the uterus. But when you take those oral contraceptive pills and you miss a day, then the hormone levels now drop and it can stimulate ovulation. So they lose their effectiveness if you are not consistent and reliable in how you take those birth control pills. That's probably a bad thing.
So that's kind of like the core difference between the IUDs and the oral contraceptives.
Well, I'd say there's two core reasons.
Okay, so what are the two?
One is one's using hormones and synthetic hormones at that. The other one is it's a pill you got to take every day. There's a lot of risks associated with oral estrogens, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but you know, increased risk of blood clots, you get what's called first pass metabolism in the liver. I would argue that there's a higher level of estrone. It's one of the bad estrogens we talked a little bit about in the last podcast. Estrone, which can cause some problems. There may be some increased risk of breast cancer and things like that associated with that. So, you know, we want to be very careful. And I just see too many problems with oral birth control pills versus the IUD, which is just this little plastic device, stimulates some inflammation inside the uterus and makes the environment inhospitable to the sperm.
Real quick question for you.
Yeah.
In your experience, and I understand there might be some, you know, not bias, not intentional bias, but you see all these patients taking oral contraceptives. How many, in your mind, do you feel confident are taking it perfectly?
Oh, taking it perfectly?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Same time every day, same time every day.
5 to 10%.
5 to 10%.
I just don't see that many. Now, I don't see that many failures either.
Sure.
So there's a window in there, but to maintain that optimal effectiveness of that 91 to 94%, it needs to be taken consistently.
Okay. And does, just educating me here, does that 91, is that like a 91 or a 0%? Or is that a 91 down to like 70% or 60% as you fail to take it appropriately?
Well, I think it's scaled.
It's scaled.
Yeah. There's, you know, I can't tell you what the sure. imperfect use number is, because if you're the one that didn't use it correctly and you got pregnant, then yours went down to zero.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a good question. Across the board, I don't know.
Sure. Okay. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back and wrap it up.
Vertical Limit Fitness constantly strives for better. Better mind, function, fitness, capacity, and community. They accomplish this through bodyweight boot camp style classes and high intensity functional fitness classes. From group classes to private training, Vertical Limit Fitness elevates your health and wellness while helping you become able to do anything and prepare you for everything that life may bring along. Call 918-409-1633 or visit their website at www.verticallimitfitness.com for more information and to sign up for a week of classes.
Okay, we're back and we're here joined by Dr. Chad Edwards, and we're talking about contraceptives, specifically IUDs and oral contraceptives, the differences between the two. And we just talked about the effectiveness of oral contraceptives. Now let's get into the IUD side. And what is the effectiveness of these?
Yeah, I'm going to sideline for just 1 second and talk about the effectiveness of other forms of birth control. So, you know, the oral contraceptives are 91 to 94% effective. Other birth control methods like condoms, the withdrawal method, diaphragms, the rhythm method, which, you know what we call people that use the rhythm method for birth control?
I've never heard of it.
Parents.
Mm.
I would not recommend that. Anyway, and using spermicides, these different forms of contraceptives range from between 72 and 88%. So the oral birth control pills are much more effective than those methods. Now, with the intrauterine device, we are greater than 99% effective. You don't have to worry about a perfect use because you implant it, you place it inside the uterus and it stays there. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to do. You don't have to interrupt sex. You just go do your thing. It's just there and it's doing its job all the time. And some studies will suggest that it's between 99.2% and 99.4% effective in preventing birth control. Now that is approaching the effectiveness of sterilization, like having your tubes tied without having surgery. The Paragard is you can put it in and it stays there for up to 10 years. So if you're considering a long-term form of birth control, I don't want to say permanent, but if you're looking long-term form of birth control, at least a year in duration, they would, you know, if you're thinking 6 months, then do something else because it's too much procedure, too much cost. You know, it's not cost-effective to do that. All you could, but it's not cost-effective at that point. But so long-term birth control, and you know, whether or not you want to have kids after that, you know, it doesn't really matter. You put the IUD in and leave it in there. And the flip side of that is that you are almost as effective as having your tubes tied. So I'm a big fan. We've used it in my family. We've seen good results with our patients. Most patients are very satisfied. We're a big fan of the Paragard.
So what are some of the benefits and some of the risks?
Yeah. So first, there's no hormones.
Okay.
That's a big thing. So some of the hormone issues that we see with the other things, and of course we like to replicate nature. Although having a device inside your uterus isn't replicating nature, but replicating nature to that extreme means that you're going to get pregnant when you have sex. So It's a trade-off. We don't have to worry about the hormones and the effect of the hormones. When you place an intrauterine device and you're decided that you're done with it and you want to pull it out, there is a quick return to fertility. Some would argue that you can get pregnant that night. So you don't have to wait for your hormones to adjust and all of those kinds of things. So you pull the thing out, you flip the switch. I mean, you could conceive fairly, very quickly. And we've seen that before. It can be a very rapid return to fertility. Some studies would show a decreased risk in endometrial cancer associated with the Paragard intrauterine device. There is an increased risk of what we call an ectopic pregnancy. So normally the egg, when it's released from the ovary, goes down what's called the fallopian tube, and then it will actually be fertilized by the sperm in the fallopian tube, but then it travels down and implants into the uterus. An ectopic pregnancy is a pregnancy, or when that fertilization occurs, and the egg implants anywhere else other than the uterus. It's called an ectopic pregnancy. And you know, those have to be managed. They have to be taken care of. You can't have a pregnancy grow inside your fallopian tube. It won't be a viable pregnancy, and it could potentially kill you if you don't address that. So there's an increased risk of ectopic pregnancies associated with the intrauterine device. Now, the interesting or the important thing to think about here is that the intrauterine device does not cause ectopic pregnancies. So, you know, across the board, if the risk of ectopic pregnancy, I'm making this number up, but say it's 10% of all pregnancies, 10% of them are ectopic. If you have an intrauterine device, your risk of ectopic pregnancy may be higher. It may be like 15%, but the overall risk of pregnancy is much lower than it would be. So it's a relative risk. It does not make you more likely to have an ectopic pregnancy. It's just that if you get pregnant, it's more likely to be ectopic than if you didn't have the intrauterine device. So it doesn't make that absolute risk of ectopic pregnancy go up. Other risks would be during the procedure, you could have what's called a uterine perforation, the very, very low risk. And that's, you know, we work very diligently to make sure that the procedure is very easy and well tolerated. And I am not aware of any myself. I've never seen one with any of my procedures, and I've never seen one with any of my colleagues as far as putting them in. But it's just something that we watch for. So those are kind of some of the risk. Oh, also, if you are either in a monogamous relationship or not monogamous, but there's a risk of infection, sexually transmitted diseases, we don't recommend a Paragard in those patients because there would be an increased risk of infection associated with that sexually transmitted disease. So those patients wouldn't be a good candidate either.
So benefits, risks, okay. We've compared it to some of the other contraceptives. Right. What am I missing here?
Well, the last piece is in young women. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ACOG, has actually released a statement that said they actually recommend an intrauterine device for birth control in young women that have never had a kid before. They're what we call nulliparous. So they recommend the IUD, or at least they say it's safe for that population. I think they've strengthened it and said that they recommend it. I can't remember. But because of the effectiveness and its safety, IUD is a great way to go, and you don't have to worry about, that perfect use of birth control pills or, you know, forgetting a pill or missing one or whatever. But it will not protect you against sexually transmitted diseases like a condom would.
Okay. So to learn more about this, where do any of our listeners go?
As always, revolutionhealth.org. Visit our website. Give us a call at 918-935-3636 and schedule your appointment.
Boom. Dr. Edwards, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
Boom. thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.